The Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Got our football wrap-up today. We'll also be talking with Art Griego, who has an organization called the National Movement for Children's Rights. He wants to lower the age of consent to 14. Also, Jay Santos will be with us talking about homosexuals at heterosexual functions. Is it right? Should it be legal? Phil Hendry Show. This past weekend, we went to a... How are you guys with masquerade or costume parties? Do you like them? I know that Chris Pelton, who is my associate producer, enjoys them because Chris comes in here every day in a different costume. By the way, Chris wants to have fangs surgically attached. Seriously, you know, I swear to God, he wants to put fangs in. This is a father and a husband, a man who I know to be a responsible and hardworking man, and yet he wants to scare the living crap out of his kid wearing fangs. What does your son say when you take him to school to parent-teacher night or to the Little League game or anything? This is my dad, and he's a freak. He's got the fang tattoo on his neck already, the whole vampire thing. I hate to tell you this, Chris, and I don't know how to go there exactly with you, but people who call themselves vampires, all they do is prick their own fingers and sit around sucking on their fingers all night long with black capes on and stuff. There's no real vampire society. What is it with people and vampires? That's the worst nightmare that I could possibly... If I lived in a world where there were actually vampires, I'd never get a wink of sleep. Freaking, there's Chris in there with the Dracula ring, the fang marks on the neck. He's going to get the fangs put in. He's going to have a cape. Next thing you know, I'm going to have to start bringing a steak to work. You don't want to see me go to work with that. What, are you going to be bringing in your own, the box of your native soil? What is that, Newberry Park? Hello, I have a box of native soil. Where's it from, Dracula? El Monte. So anyway, we went to this costume party, and how do I put this? Because I don't want to sound... like an utter bore, which I am. Socially, I don't like parties unless they're people that I know really well or unless it's at my house. Those are the best parties that I like. With people who are very dear friends or parties that I am hosting myself. Otherwise, it's tough. It's just a tough thing for me to be around. Because I'm kind of an antisocial guy. It's not that I don't like people. I just would rather not. But my wife's the opposite. Every little invitation... Oh, they're having a fundraiser for the Art Garfunkel Foundation. We simply must go. Honey, I really don't... Well, I already RSVP'd for us. Or, you know, just once I'd like you to... Okay, I'll go. Just one time I'd like you to do something for me. I always let you go up to your office and play Madden 4002. Yes, 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 I'll go. And I know a wonderful costume place. Okay, babe, you want to go with me? No, just find something you think I'll look good in. Because I don't care, right? I figure my wife, she's got to be seen with me. What, is she going to get me in a, like a pumpkin outfit? In other words, she didn't want to be embarrassed. So sure enough, I get the call. I got a wonderful costume, and I'm going to go as Empress Josephine, and guess what I got you? What'd you get me? You're going to be a pirate. I have a three-cornered hat and the whole thing, right? Well, I get the pirate costume. I'm thinking it's going to be cool with the kind of that Deion Sanders do-rag, you know, with the pirate rag, and you got the big boots. No, I look like a 18th century gay blade. I'm there with the tights and the things right up the crack of your rear end. Those guys in the 18th century, what was their story? What a pack of real. Just, hello, can you tell me the way to the Swiss Alps? Oh, thank you. Those guys with the frilly shirts... So I put it on and actually look pretty good, if I do say so myself. However, you guys can be the ultimate judges because I'm going to post the picture on my website tomorrow. It's a picture of Maria as the Empress Josephine, and there I am in my pirate costume. Now, the party was at a pad like you ain't never seen a pad like this thing. This crib was serious. This was up here in some rich neighborhood, and the guy that owns this joint is the guy that founded the whole idea of cut-rate vacations. You know how people used to have to cost a lot of money to go to Hawaii or Europe? This is the guy that started the whole thing of being able to... He packaged the good airfare with the good hotel and sell it in bulk. The guy's made millions since the 50s, right? This was his house. So we go up to this thing, and I mean, this is a house. He's got the big circular driveway. He's got valets, parking. They've got, this is a house, but there's only two people living in it. In other words, is it a home? Is it a museum? Is it a showpiece? What is it? And they had the big marble entryway and these kitchens that these houses have. You ever seen these kitchens that look like it looks like a restaurant's kitchen. And then the backyard. You walk out to this backyard, and it never ends. It goes on for miles. There's a pool, and they have a pool house. You know how some people have, if they're really wealthy, they have what's called a cabana or a pool house? Yeah, okay, but another home? I mean, this ain't just a cabana. This is a split-level ranch house. Well, you can just go change in the pool house. I mean, you're telling me that's a pool house, man. It looks like someone else's house. It's got a kitchen. You know, and then you leave out of there and you go, well, they're having drinks out by the fountain. And then I hear someone say, are you going for the costume parade? Well, I mean, I don't know. Oh, you have to do the costume parade. Well, I don't really want. Oh, come on, don't. No, just don't. Please don't. So now I've been suckered into the costume parade. And at least I can have my wife with me so I can feel like a schmuck with another person. No, she's nowhere around. She's having drinks with the hostess of the whole thing. So there's dumbass. I'm standing there. And I'm in line. Everybody else is a couple. And I'm alone. And they're going up and they're announcing the name. And what are you supposed to be? Well, I'm a pirate and this is Lady Guinevere, okay? And the pirate and Lady Guinevere, they announce it, right? So I get up there and a guy says, who are you? What are you? I'm Blackbeard. And here is Blackbeard. And I got to walk along. And thank God I had a real nice stiff gin drink. Which, by the way, just a word to any bartender anywhere, especially you guys that are hired to work these parties. You know how these people are, they got so much money, they hire a bartender. If a guy comes up to you and says, would you please make this drink again? Just do it. Don't give a song and a dance. Don't talk to the guy about how you made it perfectly the first time and you couldn't understand what could possibly be wrong with it. Because I said to the guy, and I'm one of the few people that I know, but I can tell the difference between Bombay gin and Tanqueray. I know I drink Bombay gin. I drink Bombay Sapphire. That's what I drink. You try to slip something else in there, baby, and it's not going to work. I don't care if the host of the party did tell you to go easy on the good stuff and try to cheapen it up when you can, okay? I said, I'll take a Bombay and tonic, and this guy tries to slip some beef eaters on me. And as soon as I took a sip of that, I spit it into the lawn. I just... So I ordered the guy, said, yeah, hi. you know what? This just doesn't taste like... Well, I don't know what could be wrong with it. Well, I don't know. And I stopped short of saying, you cheap, dirty, you try to slip some beef eaters in. I said, it might be the ice. I'm sure it's the ice. It's probably from an ice. Well, okay. I mean, guy's giving me this problem. Well, I don't know what it... Just make another drink. I should have gone up and said, hey, see this? This is a lousy drink. Make another one. Sure enough, and I watched him pour it this time. Can you do that? You know the difference between a good... What do you drink? You drink that... Maker's Mark. What, is the guy going to slip in some freaking Johnny Walker on you? Forget it. It's like Don Julio. And I can tell the difference between tequilas. I know Julio, I know Patron, and I know the Herradura. And I quit fooling around, right? I say to the guy at the restaurant, I'll take a Don Julio Blanco on the rocks, please. Yes, sir. You have it? Oh, you bet, sir. Oh, okay, great. Okay. What a schmuck. And the guy's walking away thinking he's going to save on the good stuff. He comes back. I asked for a Blanco. That's silver. So what do you think when you get a glass of some, like, dark liquid in there? Yeah. What, do I look like I just got off the boat? Is this his... Don Julio Blanco, yes, sir. How come it's like amber in color? Well, that's what he said. Yeah, huh? So that's when you walk back to the bartender and you go, I want a Blanco. This is Don... Well, we don't have Don Julio. Oh, you don't have it, huh? Well, what do you got? Jose Cuervo. Yeah, okay. I must look like the world's dumbest. I mean, the record-breaking dumbbell of the year. I asked for a Julio Blanco, and a guy's laying a Julio 1800 on me, and he says, yep, that's the good stuff, sir. It doesn't get better than that. And I take a sip of it, and I got to pump my stomach. I'm running the bed next to Roy Horn. That poor guy. How about that Roy Horn, Siegfried and Roy? I hope the guy recovers. You know, they look like two nice guys, you know, and they're doing their animal act. But I got to tell you something, and this is just my own personal opinion. Wild animals are wild animals. A wild animal is an animal. You'll never domesticate it. The best you can do is train it, which I understand these two men are probably the best at what they do. I don't like to see these kinds of acts. They're not favorites of mine. I don't go to SeaWorld, and I don't go to aquarium land, and I don't go to zoos. I don't like to see animals in captivity. I don't wild animals in captivity. It's nothing I get a kick out of. I don't want to see the elephants going around holding onto each other's tails, and I don't want to see the pandas rolling around. Why don't you just let these animals live where they live? But it is the ultimate conceit of man to continually, down through the ages, try to prove that he can control nature at every level. Of course we can. Of course we can. We could go into the forest tomorrow. We could murder every wild tiger there is. There, boom, we're better than them. Now do you feel good? What is it about human beings? It's the ultimate conceit of humans to see if we can test the savagery and the strength of wild animals and survive. And as consumers, we get a real big bang out of that, don't we? We watch these poor animals. I will say one thing for the Siegfried and Roy, these two guys. They don't, to my understanding, and this doesn't look like, they don't drug these cats up, do they? They don't use any of that stuff, which is to their credit. A lot of these circuses and these other wild animal routines, they're giving these animals tranquilizers. Who wants to go down to SeaWorld and look at this poor animal, this poor Shamu, sitting in a tank all day long, bobbing up and down, and then for a few minutes out of the day, he gets to run around in a tank, bouncing balls off of his nose? That's exactly what whales do out in the Pacific, by the way. Didn't you know that? They sit and bob up and down for about 8 hours a day. Then they run around in a circle, and then they just stay put. That's how they go from Alaska to Mexico. It's not natural. I can't stand it. It makes me want to... I could break down and cry. I don't know what makes me want to cry more, seeing Shamu in that situation or watching Pittsburgh go down 35-15 to Cleveland, which we'll also talk about. Coming up, Jay Santos and Art Griego on the show. A little bit more about Roy Horn, Israel and Syria. Israel, all right. Yeah, baby! I like that. They went right on into Damascus and said, here, a couple of missiles ought to wake you up. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let's take a look at this weekend in the National Football League. Hoo boy. Joe Dickhead went 6-8. I hope you're not following. I hope you're not basing your life's income on him. Although Joe is about 60% this year. He's at 45-27. But what a weekend. Actually, if anybody knew what they were doing, it wouldn't be that tough of a weekend because, like, Joe's got Detroit over San Francisco. Is that really a smart pick? Detroit on the road, even though it's Mariucci coming into his old hometown, I should say. Anyway, Dallas over Arizona. And you know what? Emmett, what do I say about Emmett Smith? Emmett, just hang it up. The Cowboys cut you because your best days are behind you. And I know you want to continue to prove you can do it. The guy doesn't even have 200 yards rushing this year in five games. Forget it. And it was very, very tough to watch you in that football game. Parcells obviously knows what he's doing. I mean, the guy's won two Super Bowls, so I would have to say when he makes a personnel move, it's one that he has the experience of knowing may benefit the team. Dallas over Arizona, Emmett Smith, what, 9 yards or something in the football game? And the Arizona Cardinals continue to be one of the biggest embarrassments in the history of this league, the entire league. And like I said last week, you guys in Arizona, you must have really thought you put one over on the NFL when you put in that Martin Luther King holiday. Little did you know, man, they stuck it on you. You guys are stuck with the Cardinals. You're stuck with the worst owner in football, and there's nothing you can do about it. How about if you just run them out of town? Start writing a whole bunch of bad stuff. Don't show up for the games. And they'll move to L.A. And then you guys won't have another professional football team. Period. Cincinnati at Buffalo. Joe picked Cincinnati. What is it about Cincinnati that he believes in? Well, John Kitna's playing pretty good football. Cincinnati's defense is not all that shabby either. In fact, Cincinnati under Marvin Lewis ain't a bad football team at all. But you got Buffalo, which Greg Williams is turning out to be a great coach, and he was ripped by Football Digest preseason saying that this guy had better get it together because he doesn't know how to communicate with his players. Well, guess what, Football Digest? I'll continue to subscribe to you, but just don't bother me too much with your opinions. Just write the straight stuff, all right? Don't tell me Oklahoma's going to win the national championship. They ain't anywhere near number one, are they? Well, you mean they are? And then finally, oh, Kansas City over Denver. We had that one. Kansas City. That Dante Hall, did you see that run back? You didn't see it? This kid runs one back for about 99 yards. Now here, I don't know if it must have been a kickoff. He gets the ball down around the two or the three. Denver has got this kick covered front, center, sideways, everywhere. Just closing on this guy. Now imagine a guy at the three-yard line with all 11 guys circled around him. He cuts this way. He cuts back that way. He cuts back this way. He's avoiding tackles. Finally, he busts out at the five and just starts streaking down the far sideline. Touchdown, Chiefs. Unreal. All right, another action. Minnesota over Atlanta. Big deal. Knew that had happened. Carolina over New Orleans. Who cares? But Joe had that one. Oakland proving once again that they are just a shadow. In fact, I didn't think their team last year was all that great either. So to say they're a shadow of last year's team is a super insult. But Oakland's horrific. Lose to Chicago by three, Seattle and Green Bay. Seattle apparently is not the big juggernaut everybody was telling me they were. And we had in the first few games of the season, but they lost big to Green Bay. So all of you guys saying that Brett Favre is a cripple and an old man, you may be right, but yesterday he wasn't. Then we got New England and Tennessee. New England won that football game. New England's definitely a ball club to contend with there. And Tennessee, forget it. You ain't going to win a Super Bowl with McNair, Fisher. In fact, they may not win a Super Bowl with you. San Diego loses to Jacksonville. Yeah! That's my baby! Way to do it, San Diego! Hey, Schottenheimer, you get the feeling the game's passed you by? Because I think it has. You got the great, possibly the greatest running back in the National Football League, without question, in Tomlinson. You got it, not a half-bad quarterback in Drew Brees. But you, Schottenheimer, uh-uh. Not you. And I, you know, that's a bad thing to say about a guy. He's given his whole life to football. Forget it. Put him in the front office. Let him be a general manager. Then we got Detroit and San Francisco. Joe Dickhead had Detroit. Mariucci comes up a football, or whatever it is, a touchdown shy. Philly over Washington. I like that one. What were McNabb's numbers? Were something in the neighborhood of 16 to 30, 183 yards. But, you know, he hasn't been that good from the get-go. And Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I think the only reason why Bill Cowher is a head coach in Pittsburgh, because he hasn't been that good from the get-go, is because he's white and the media wants to see a white coach do well. Cleveland 33, Pittsburgh 13, that's bad. Getting your ass kicked at home like that, bad. Cleveland is definitely the ball club. Butch Davis. Any team coached by a guy named Butch, I would not ordinarily support, but you got to admit, it's the Cleveland Browns, no matter who you are. You just love the Cleveland Browns with those orange helmets. So that's it. Tonight it's Indianapolis at Tampa Bay. We got Tampa Bay in that game all the way. Don't even worry about it. Indianapolis is good, and they're getting better, but they ain't going to beat Tampa Bay at home. No chance. So immediately go running out and bet on, yeah, that's right, Indianapolis. Now, I'd also like to thank Roy Cummings of the Tampa Bay Tribune, of the Tampa Tribune sports section. And the reason I want to thank Roy is he actually quoted me properly in an article he did about what we had to say about Warren Sapp. And, I mean, other than Jack Hinn of the New York Times and maybe one other guy at the L.A. Times, Roy, you're the first guy to write a story having to do with me that actually got what I said right, so I appreciate it. And, you know, everybody complains about this because the ink press generally has this, just a major hatred for radio, since radio has sort of usurped the role that newspapers had for a long time. But this is a very fair guy, Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune. If you get a chance, check it out. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be joining us today. Art Griego on lowering the age of consent for young women. Why? Because older men would like it that way. And we also have Bud's most rad accidents in NASCAR, maybe, if we can find them. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I knew there was going to be a backlash concerning this Arnold Schwarzenegger business. The business. Apparently sexually harassing women and being a Hitler youth, or whatever that Hitler admiration comment was. He has swastika plates, you know, like the guy in American Beauty. He has swords. He has guns. He's a Hitler admirer. I always thought that the timing was very suspicious, and I knew, and I said to Janice this morning, there's going to be a backlash. This is not going to hurt his election chances. Are you crazy? Was there anybody who, when this information was released and when the Los Angeles Times, ever desperate to continue people reading its news, I can't tell you the last time I picked up an LA Times, but they're constantly in the news. And I think the reason why they're constantly in the news is that their reporting becomes more and more amateurish and more outrageous and frankly pathetic. I mean, just more and more pathetic. I don't even look at their website. You know what's wrong with your website, LA Times? It's unreadable. It's difficult to... It's not organized properly as a website should be. The news is... you don't know where to find stuff. It looks like poo-poo. It's what I call crap. Anyway, this ain't about the Times. I'm talking about Schwarzenegger and the fact that... Or the accusation that he sexually harassed women and admired Hitler. That wasn't going to do anything with anybody. And it did exactly what I thought it would do. It's caused a sympathy vote to emerge. People are pissed that this stuff is coming out. You want to know why? It may be true. But the problem is this stuff always comes out at the same time. 3 seconds before the election. Like they were sitting on it and then all of a sudden, oh, well, look what we found out. This is always the same story with this kind of stuff. An 11th-hour revelation. It's so calculated. It's so obviously calculated. And we've had so much experience with this as voters for so many years that it now becomes quite obvious to everybody that this is a campaign. It's not good reporting. It's a campaign. Look, this is coming from a guy, once again, who is not necessarily a big Arnold Schwarzenegger fan. But you want to know something? The more you guys desperately try to attack this guy's character, because here's why I don't really feel these things are relevant. He said at one time when he was a young man that he admired Hitler. Well, I don't know whether he said that or not. That was contained in an interview transcript. There is no audio of him saying this. So I don't know whether this is true or not. And frankly, I would bet that it isn't. But even if it was, unlike most people, I recognize that we're not all perfect when we pop out of the womb. In other words, not all of us, unlike some people, you know, like maybe Gray Davis, like maybe George Bush, they all just popped right out of the womb perfect. They just came into the womb, you know, they were born in a manger. And they just went on out and, you know, they'll wind up hanging from a cross, but they never, ever did anything wrong. They never stole a pack of gum. Well, unfortunately, most of us are not like that. Most of us have had our moments. And, like, if I ran for governor, it'd have to come out sooner or later that I actually worked as a talk show host. And do you know what that would do to my reputation? See, right now, nobody knows that I'm working as a talk show host. But if I run for governor, everybody's going to find out. So, what's his name? John Schwarzenegger? Oh, yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think you got to change your name to John or Adolf. So then the other thing is these women coming forward, and this is the one that is really, of course, quite tiresome. Here comes another gal, mid-40s to mid-50s, moderately attractive for a middle-aged woman, and once upon a time, he put his finger in my ear, or he stuck his tongue up my you-know-what, or he, and I said after about a half hour, you better stop doing that. And all of this is so suspect, and it's all so flimsy. And it also, it doesn't, the guy's not a child molester, and he's not a rapist. He was a young man without boundaries. Oh, well, gee, most of us aren't like that, are we? Most of us were never like that, were we? No. And otherwise, the guy had hormones. I'm not saying that it was not an imposition, and we're learning more and more, and what do you want me to say, okay? At one time, we used to walk around wearing powdered wigs, okay? We don't do it anymore. We're trying to get better as a species. What kills me, though, is when we find out that a guy was human, when we find out that some guy did something that everybody does, all of a sudden we're like nuns. We're just shocked. We're just, oh!
Give me a glass of lemonade, Vespas. I think I'm gonna faint. Yes, ma'am. I'll go in kitchen and fetch it. Right away.
Just understand that we're human beings. This, and most people do, this thing is blowing up in the LA Times' face. They got hate emails. They got 1,000 people emailing them and telling them to find something else to do, will you? Any other profession besides what you guys profess to do. You're not reporters. We don't know what it is you guys are playing at. Your sports page is as boring as they get. Your front page news is, so what, man? I mean, what, get today what you could have gotten yesterday. Read the LA Times. Oh, yeah, that's one more thing. If I got to sit down at another movie theater and see the LA Times commercial one more time, I'm going to throw an entire huge Slurpee at the screen. Every time you sit in the movie theater,
get the real story. Get the LA Times.
No, I'm not going to get the LA Times. And so now this is blowing up in their face. Schwarzenegger looks as pure as the driven snow and as clean as a baby's rear end. And the LA Times, it turns out, when they got all the news of these women that were bagging on Schwarzenegger, they were doing cold calls with people that used to work on movie sets with him. In other words, so what were you guys looking for exactly? Arnold Schwarzenegger's running for governor. Let's try and find some crap on him. Okay, go for it. Why? Because you don't like him? Oh, we didn't say that. Well, then why are you going on that angle? No, we're just trying to be objective. Well, what about Davis? What was he doing? I bet you'll find chipmunks in his past. I bet you there's chimpanzees in his diary. Dear diary, today Bonzo and I... why don't you guys get with it? People are tired of it. Now, tomorrow, everybody's going to the polls. We told you last week, we'll tell you, I don't give a crap if his, and I love this one, he's slipping in the polls. Yeah, he's down to 54% to 41% for Davis. That's a landslide in anybody's book. It's a landslide in anybody's book. I'm going to tell you who I'm going to vote for. I may vote for Schwarzenegger. I may vote for what's-his-face. I may vote for Alfred E. Newman. Nobody will ever find out who I vote for, but what I do on this show, and hopefully you recognize this, guys, is wherever there's bull crap, I try to get a shovel to it and get it outside. Try to tell me that Schwarzenegger, this stuff is going to hurt him. It ain't hurting him. People are pissed off that we got to deal with this stuff at the 11th hour of another campaign. This guy did this, and that guy did that, and this guy was engaged with, had sex with his cat, and another guy married his dog, and another guy was involved with a couple of horses, and so what? You know, 2 feet up, 2 hooves down, you know. So I say good riddance to good to bad rubbish, and I do mean the LA Times, which gets into the recycle bin at our house almost as soon as it hits the sidewalk in front of our house. The LA Times, into the recycle bin as fast as it's delivered. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Then the other news that we have for you today, Kobe Bryant. We'll be right back with that one. Or maybe we won't. Maybe we'll change our mind. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now the Phil Hendry Show presents
Big Wheels Rolling.
Bud Dickman's most rad accidents in NASCAR this weekend. Some of these accidents are radical.
Gotta keep them going.
Boy, we had a big race this weekend in NASCAR. This race was called the Banquet 400 in Kansas City. That's in Kansas.
And like Will and Sonny make it move.
Matt Kenseth starting 32nd in a backup car after he wrecked in practice Friday. He crashed. He crashed in a backstrip on a backstretch on Sunday. He was trying to avoid Michael Waltrip's car, but Waltrip spun out a 68th lap. And just, look out! Ah! Didn't sound like that. Oh, God! Get me out of the car! I'm burning alive! I'm burning alive! It really didn't happen that way. And then finally, the field tightened after the 249th lap when Johnny Benson, a gay name, he hit the front stretch wall on the 249th lap after contact with Martin. That's gay. Hold on for a minute. The field tightened after the 249th lap, and then another crash happened. And went,
ow!
Then Elliot Sadler's car briefly. Oh, this is bitching. Elliot Sadler's car burst into flames. There's fire! Fire! And he jumped out of the car and said, somebody! Somebody get the extinguisher! I'm on fire! I'm burning alive! Oh, that feels better.
Gypsy.
Thank you. His right front tire blew and he slid into a wall and then it just went like. No, God, please! I'm too young to die!
Oh, that's much better.
To the grind.
Then the 77 laps after Elliott's fire, Kurt Busch, his car's on fire too. This must have been a rad race. And there's like two fires, guys leaping around going, I bet you they put their butts in one of them cartoon buckets of water and stuff. All right, so anyway, on number 97, it caught on fire. Well, that's Bud Dickman's most radical accidents in NASCAR this week. Be with us next week when we have Bud Dickman's most radical NASCAR accidents this week. Damn, how am I going to tell my wife? My sister. Radical.
Gypsy, always on the go, doing what they best know how to do.
How am I going to tell my sister? My wife.
Yeah, that's a joke about...
I know what it's about. Bud Dickman there with the most radical accidents in NASCAR this week. You're right, Bud. There were a couple of fires there in the Banquet 400. All right, 1-800-44... I mean, that's all I can say about that. I don't even know what the Banquet 400... What does 400 mean? 400 miles? 400 cars? 400 miles. I know, it's 400 miles now. It's 400... 400 laps. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's listen, shall we? All right, coming up, Art Griego on lowering the age of consent, Jay Sanis on homosexuals at heterosexual weddings. How are we going to deal with this problem? And also, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com. And now it's time for another topic no one cares about except Phil.
And men like Will and Sonny make it move.
All right, today, we're back on Israel. Yeah, I know. You don't get it. You don't dig it. You don't understand it. Why are you doing all that Middle East stuff? Haven't we got enough problems here? No, we don't have enough problems here. I need more problems. I want more and more and more. And Israel, I don't know whether you heard about it or not. See, Israel's a country in the Middle East. It's inhabited mostly by people of the Jewish faith. It was founded after World War II in response to the Holocaust and to the centuries-old migration of Jewish people due to persecution. And so finally the United Nations did the right thing, gave Israel a state. They tried to divide the land with the Palestinians. Palestinians didn't like it. They've been at war ever since. They're a democracy, and they are a country that is very friendly to us, as we are to them. See, here's the reason why America... A lot of people say, well, how come America supports the Jews and we don't the Arabs? Let me explain a little something to you about history. America witnessed firsthand the Holocaust. Firsthand. We're one of the few countries on Earth. One of the few countries on Earth who witnessed this with our own eyes and with our own noses. We could smell it and we saw it. Our GIs... Guys, just guys that were gas jockeys before the war, guys that were selling shoes, guys that were modeling lingerie. These guys, Americans from Cleveland, from Indiana, from California, from Florida, they walked into these extermination camps and they thought they were walking in mud. They found out later it was human excrement. And they saw what they thought were human beings, but they'd never seen any human beings like this before. They saw people, they were skeletons, they were walking skeletons. These guys had never seen anything like that. So, in other words, our country came home from World War II with a real eye and noseful of what happened over there. That's why America has always traditionally supported Israel. Countries that don't, countries that are primarily against the Israelis, are countries who are relatively insensitive to the plight of Jews. For instance, France, where anti-Semitism is now at an all-time high. All-time high. Don't believe me? Hey, check with, you know, ask anybody that lives there. Ask anybody that lives there that doesn't have their eyes closed, I should say. Or ask any Arab that lives there. They proudly burned down, what do you call them? It ain't a church. It ain't a mosque. A tabernacle? Synagogue? Oh, a synagogue. Okay. What do you mean synagogue? So they proudly burn them to the ground over there. So that's why we back up Israel. Now, over the weekend, the Israelis did what is customary for them, a bold, gutsy thing. It's very customary for the Israeli. And, you know, the smaller your country, the more encircled your country, and the braver your people, the gutsier a lot of the things are that you do. The Israelis suffered yet again another homicide bombing, this time in a beautiful beach city. What's the name of that town? I forget the name of it, but I know a friend of mine has been there on business many times. It's north of Israel. It's a beach city, a lot of restaurants on a beach. Somebody walks into a restaurant up there, blows themselves up, 19 people dead. This is an outrage, absolute outrage. And of course, if you ask the Palestinian Authority, they'll tell you it's all Israel's fault for even existing in the first place. See, it all goes, what do you mean, Tel Aviv? That's the name of the capital. I'm talking about a beach resort town. See, it all goes back. It's always the Israelis' fault. Well, it wouldn't even have started had they not moved here in 1945. So there. Oh, okay. Well, all right. I guess if it goes all the way back there, you're right. But then we could always, you know, present arguments in favor of them based upon your actions. But what would that do? I guess you'd have to be able to read, right? The Palestinian people would have had to have been given school books and proper education. And we know that hasn't happened under Arafat. Now, has it? Anyway, what they did over the weekend after this absolutely outrageous suicide bombing, murder of civilian, targeting civilians. Do you understand the difference between targeting a civilian and a civilian dying as the result of a military strike on a legitimate military target? Do you understand the difference? Yeah, I know civilians die in war. You don't have to break the news to me. I get it. Are you trying to tell me that as college-educated people in this country, some of us believe that there's no difference between absolutely targeting civilians and civilians dying as the result of a collateral action? Or is it all the same thing? Well, I got big news for you, it ain't. So over the weekend, Israel did something that they're noted for, bold, gutsy moves. They went right after Syria. They bombed a terrorist training camp right outside of Damascus. Now, was it a flagrant violation of the sacred borders of Syria? Are you trying to tell me that Israel has peace with Syria? They haven't had peace with Syria, and there's been no real truce with Syria since the Six-Day War. It was beautiful what they did. And the United States is not... Haifa, that's the name of the town. And the United States is not condemning it. And even Russia is saying, well, if we do condemn that, we also want a resolution that condemns terrorist bombing. So even the Russians halfway recognized that Israel had the right to do what they did. It was a beautiful thing. And I hope they continue to do it. Because if Syria starts to start sweating buckets, maybe they'll stop that Hamas guy.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Art Griego is with us, who is a pilot, actually a private pilot in Santa Monica, California, but is also very active in the national child's rights movement. What is the lobbying about? I know you lobby a lot of issues.
We do, Phil, a variety of issues, but right now we're focusing on the national age of consent.
A national age of consent, meaning...
Well, we think a national age of consent of 14 is the most realistic way for us to address the needs of younger women and many men.
Why is this a priority? Of all the problems that kids have, why is this a priority?
Phil, in the year 2002, some 35,000 arrests for statutory rape were made in the United States. Those were 35,000 men who were removed from their homes. Their families, their careers, they were incarcerated because they committed a crime that really is obsolete.
Well, now, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about consenting? How do you know that we're not talking about child, you know, sex with a child?
No, we're talking about just simply lowering the national age of consent between a female. The other is obsolete. The young women are maturing faster, both physically and socially. Women are engaging in sexual relations at a much younger age, some as young as 12, which we don't condone.
All right, so you cut it off at 14?
We would like to lower it to 13. We don't think that's realistic. We think that 14 is realistic.
All right.
But a national age of consent of 14 is more realistically, we think, reflects what's happening in our culture. And also, it takes the burden off the states. This makes it a federally guaranteed right.
Because right now, age of consent is states, not federal.
Every state has an individual age of consent. That is correct.
Why is there a need for men to have sex with younger and younger women?
Well, it's a good question. It's the one we get asked all the time.
Because you got to understand, you run the risk here of people thinking that you're engaged in some kind of a kiddie porn.
No, I don't think people make that mistake. I think people...
you don't?
No, I think people know the difference between what we're asking for, which is simply lowering the age of consent so that a young woman can have the opportunity, or not the opportunity, I guess, but a young woman can do what comes naturally to her at a realistic age. I can tell you, for me personally, women are susceptible at an advanced age to serious diseases such as lung cancer, heart disease, breast cancer, and as such, they're leaving men with very young children in some instances.
All right, so you're saying that older women, what, in their 40s?
Oh, well, it's late 30s, early 40s.
Are dying.
They're dying from disease. And these men, their husbands, are left with children, and left with the home, and left with the responsibility of raising a family. And the men are naturally afraid to marry again the same kind of woman. So in my case, my wife died at the age of 41, 6 years after our son was born. So she dies of breast cancer. She leaves me with a six-year-old boy. I've got a career that takes me out of town. But she's dead, and I have to push on with this kid. And why is that? Because my wife didn't live. And so I'm the one that's stuck having to deal with all of these problems. What I would like to do is maybe, with the permission of society, is not make the same mistake again. Thank you very much. I'd like to be able to date a younger woman so that I can be sure that my son is going to have a mother through his life, as opposed to me having to date some woman who's some old woman.
Well, I mean, old woman, a woman in her 40s.
Look, this is, I'm simply saying...
Well, like, I understand everything you're saying. My condolence, but why 14?
In the last 2 years, I personally have been arrested twice for statutory rape. And was it not for an outstanding attorney, I would be in a state prison with my son in foster care. Men all over America would have sex with a 14-year-old because it's our God-given right. But we've got to band together to change the law. That's the first thing we're going to do, is change the law, Phil.
Look, I understand when you say women are dying younger, you want a nice young wife, but it's got to be 14?
The younger, the better. We have children who, I'm not even saying a wife, but I'm saying a social life, because we've got kids. You know, if a woman wants to die of breast cancer, that's her business. If she wants to die from lung cancer, that's her business. But I don't want my kids growing up without a mother. And I also would rather date a woman and fall in love with a woman who isn't going to die within the next couple of years. The younger, the more opportunity I have of having some semblance of happiness, as opposed to I meet a woman, and the next thing you know, she's got melanoma because she wanted a tan. This is the kind of thing that we're trying to say, Phil, and I just don't want you and the other members of the media distorting it.
Well, I hope I'm not, sir. We're talking here with Art Griego of the National Movement for Child's Rights. He wants the national age of consent lowered to 14 for girls. What about young men?
We are taking a look at that, but we don't think it's necessary right now.
All right, so teenage boys, it doesn't have to be younger for them, just girls.
Just right now, just for the girls. We are looking at it on a case-by-case basis.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I understand everything that you're saying, but we have to get to the arrest that was in a city park about 3 months ago. Is that right, with a 14-year-old girl?
That is correct.
Can you tell me about it?
Well, the police were aggressive with me. I told them that I was talking to the young lady about marriage.
The police say that she was disrobed.
Well, she was changing her shirt. She'd been in a softball game. I brought along a change of blouse for her. Yeah, I know what the police say, but the police, when it comes to this kind of thing, the police will lie, and they're notorious liars. We need to lower the age of consent.
You were talking to a 14-year-old girl. Was she a friend of yours?
I like to think so, yeah.
Were you talking to her about marriage?
Well, when they're that age, they want to hear you say that you love them and everything. Yeah, I mean, I was, whatever, I don't know what I was saying. At that moment that I was arrested?
Yeah.
I don't know what I was saying. But
well, wait a minute. You said that you were talking, that you want to marry these girls so your boy isn't left without a mother?
Well, I'll just say to a 14-year-old girl, yeah, I love you, because they want to hear that, and yeah, I do. I love them. But then love changes, you know. More than anything else, it's none of the cop's business what I was talking to her about. And
well, she had her blouse off.
Yeah, and she was changing her shirt. We need to lower the age of consent, Phil, because right now these 40-year-old women are dying from lung cancer because they can't stand life so much. They're smoking two packs a day, and as the result, our wives are dead before we can get them home. Before we can even, like I like to say, before we can get their clothes off. And I don't mean any disrespect.
Well, that's kind of tough to say about a dead wife.
I didn't mean any disrespect. I'm just, Phil, the amount of children left motherless is growing. These kids need mothers, and I would rather socialize and date a girl, say 14, 15, let our relationship grow, know that we're right for each other, so that by the time she is maybe 16 or 17, we marry.
Can I ask you, sir, how old you are? And if you say, are you in your 40s?
You know something, Phil, it's none of your business.
But how old are you?
I'm 45.
45, dating a 14-year-old?
Your judgment doesn't affect me. We want...
My judgment doesn't affect you. It's difficult. Let me ask you this question, then. What would you say to those men out there who have 14-year-old daughters to make them feel better about their 14-year-old daughter having the right to sexual consent? What would you say to fathers with 14-year-old daughters that you want to date or you want to have intimacy with?
I would say to them that I would encourage them to vote for this. I think they're lucky to still have their wives. Mine's dead, and marrying another woman my age is not in the question. I'm not going to get caught again with a dead wife. But their daughters are the answer for men like me to get with it. So I would encourage them to vote for it and just shut up about it. I mean, the fact of the matter is, it's really up to their daughters and me, or men like me.
1-800-449-8686. Art Griego wants to lower the national age of consent for girls to 14. Karen, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I have never called in a show before, but I am absolutely horrified at this man. The selfishness and the audacity of this man. First of all, the age of consent for a girl at 14, she neither has the experience nor the emotional stability to
Well, it depends on the woman. It depends on the woman.
We're talking about a child here, not a woman. This is a child.
Well, but many women are childlike.
You are committing an offense.
Not if it's legal, I'm not. Not if it's legal, I'm not.
You're like a pedophile. And you are so
pedophile
that you need somebody to watch your six-year-old child?
Can I ask you a question, ma'am?
How dare you?
Have you seen young girls?
Excuse me, I'm not done.
All right, but you haven't seen the way young girls develop. You've got 14-year-old girls that look like they're 30.
Okay, but your mentality is such that you enjoy being with a 14-year-old girl.
Well, that's not for you to decide. That's not for you to decide, is it? It's for me to decide what's best for me. And a 14-year-old, I find them more stimulating, more interesting in conversation.
Wait a minute. You were married to a 41-year-old woman.
Yeah, who dies on me. So thank you very much for that.
That's her fault. Like, if she dares to die on you.
Well, wait a second.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Did I die? No, I didn't die.
No, but she dared to die on you. It's like it's her fault.
Well, what am I supposed to do now? I got a career that takes me out of town two times a month.
Live with it. You know what?
Live with it.
If my husband died and my children were young, I'd have to do what you're doing, and nobody would say anything.
Well,
How dare you?
Is this about you or about me? If you're upset with your life, I would suggest...
No, I'm very happy with my life, sir. I do not need the stimulation of a 14-year-old boy
to
help me.
That's you. I need to know that the woman I marry next isn't going to turn around and die because she's, old. And,
wait a minute. Your wife died at 41. Do you call that old?
Well, compared to 14, yes, I do.
You're a pedophile, sir.
Oh, you like to say that? No, not if it's legal, I'm not. And don't blame me about you're about to croak. That's not my problem.
I am not about to croak.
Well, you sound a little tired. You sound like you need some iron.
I'm not tired at all.
You're
horrified.
You're iron poor.
I am just horrified at your attitude.
Horrified that I would enjoy the sexual as well as the friendly charms of a 14-year-old girl.
Do you understand, Mr. Criego, that to many people it sounds like child molestation?
Well, it's too bad. I'm just saying to the fathers out there who have 14-year-old daughters, you better vote for this because, you know, I don't want to marry. Like, Karen, you sound like a nice lady, but I'm sure you've been embittered by life. And I don't think
I'm very happy. I have a wonderful life.
Are you a lot of fun? Are you fun to be with?
Absolutely. And I have a great sense of humor, but I don't find any humor in your actions whatsoever.
I'm not trying to be funny.
And I feel very sorry for your six-year-old boy.
You should feel sorry for my six-year-old boy when his mother decided she'd just as soon die as be in this world and take care of him.
Oh.
Yeah. So talk to her.
I think
all right. Karen, thank you. Why do you feel somehow your wife...
Look, Phil, I'm here. My wife's dead. I raise our son. My wife doesn't. Now I'm told that I can't go on and have a life with and you tell me I'm not allowed to have sex with a 12-year-old. That makes me a pedophile.
12 years of age is awfully young. I mean, it's, you know, don't we have a duty as a society?
If she understands, look, have you seen some of the 12-year-olds we got out here? They have got their bodies like you wouldn't believe. And if you got to talk to the mothers who dress them up that way and the fathers who, you know, let it happen. So naturally, I'm going to say, well, would you care to have a drink? Would you
a drink for a 12-year-old?
No, I don't mean a drink. I mean a cup of coffee or a Coke or whatever.
All right, Art Griego on with us. He wants the age of consent for girls lowered down to around 13, 14, 12, something like that, because his wife is dead, and a lot of men's wives are dying at the age of 40 from breast cancer, and they don't want to make the same mistake twice, marrying some old chick. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, he wants to make this a national age of consent, meaning it's no longer a state law, it's a federal law, and a misdemeanor at that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Welcome back. Art Griego is with the National Child's Rights Movement. You know, the name of that is suspect. This isn't about the rights of children. This is about the rights of men, isn't it?
Oh, it most certainly is, Phil.
How do you figure this is about the rights of children? You want to lower the age of consent to 14?
I'm giving every teenage girl what she ultimately would like to have, the right to choose her life. If you look at the average teenage girl around 12 and 13... their mothers are always butting in and telling them what to wear, always telling them what music to listen to. They want the freedom to date who they want to date, and so on. And I can tell you, I mean, these 14-year-old girls are standing on street corners in their bikinis, advertising a car wash to support the cheerleaders. Obviously, they're old enough to know what they're doing. And I'll tell you something else. These kids have a choice. I'm not forcing them to be my girlfriend. I'm not forcing them to be that different.
Well, what would induce a girl 14 to date you?
Maybe I understand them, and also there's a chance they could become a model if they want, or make a demo to become a singer. And
so you promise them that, huh?
Well, I tell them I can help them. They can dance back up to it for many of today's superstars. I understand, and men my age understand what young women want. They want a relationship with a man who cares. And yes, they want to be able to dance for, you know, Britney Spears or something like that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego, National Child's Rights Movement, he wants to lower the age of consent to the age of 14 for girls only because his wife died and he doesn't want to make the mistake of marrying an old woman again. Daniel, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hey, Thomas, that I would not vote for this because I feel that a child being 12, 14 years old should not have sex to start off with. And is it anybody's fault that your wife died? How come you couldn't take care of her when she was alive?
Well, I did. I mean, I gave her the best medical care, but, I mean, can you imagine she dies at 41? You're not even supposed to die until you're 70. And I read, before I married her, I read a medical journal that said women's life expectancy is 76. And so I'm lied to by the medical establishment, and it's my fault. That's what you're saying.
No. All I'm trying to say is that I don't think that you ought to be going to these children to have a relationship with them. Because what it sounds like, you are a child molester.
Yeah,
you're
telling
them all this and that you're going to be making them big stars and stuff. Well, that's the way they make them, they get all these girls in to have sex with them.
Well, wait a minute.
You're abusive.
Wait.
And that's what you're doing. If I had a child and you were dating my child like this, dude, I drive a rig, and I guarantee you, man, I would be there. And I would kick your goddamn ass.
Well, wait a minute. You can't kick my ass for... What about your daughter's rights to have sex with me?
Excuse me, my daughter should not have sex at that age.
He's a father. He doesn't want his daughter...
But if we lower the age of consent, this guy's not going to have anything to say about it. Now, these pretty girls...
Well, hold on for a minute. This is a man who doesn't want that.
Look, they're pretty girls. They want a shot at life. I'm here to help. What's wrong with me saying to her I could make her a movie star?
Because it's bull... Can you make her a movie star?
Yeah, maybe.
If you had a daughter, if you had a daughter, would you want an older man to date her?
I'd like her to have the chance, especially if he was a business partner of mine, yes. I'd like her to have the...
Oh, here we go, a business partner.
What do you
suggest? So it has to be a certain type of person to date your daughter at 14, right?
Well, yes,
is that what you're saying?
I would remind you, Daniel, that in ancient times, queens and kings married at the age of 9, 10.
This is 2003. Hello, we got laws for people like you.
We don't have
that
kids.
That want to have sex with children.
Well,
what you if can't get that through your head.
Okay, are you married?
Children are children.
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
All right, what if your wife up and dies on you? And you say, oh, that's great. Thank you very much for dying. Wouldn't you want to find one younger?
Look, my wife has cancer now.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
But yet, I do everything I can for her, right?
Of course.
If she died, is that my choice? Is that her choice to die? No, that's just the fact of life.
She could have hung around a little longer, couldn't she? And then you're sitting there.
Look at me, bro.
You're stuck.
I drive a rig. If I drive off a cliff, or slip on the road,
then she's stuck too.
Is that my fault, Daniel? Is that my wife's fault?
You're right. 1-800-449-8686. Should we lower the national age of consent for women to 14?
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I'm with Art Griego, the National Child's Rights Movement. He wants the national age of consent lowered to 14.
The brochure says 13. We're looking for 13. Phil,
you said 14.
We are looking optimally for 13.
All right, now Janice was on the phone with you. Are you driving right now?
Yes, I am.
And are you near a city park or something?
That's not what I said to Joanne. I said to Janice that I was driving downtown, and I wanted to come back to the park, which is where Amanda and I met, to see if she's still here. And
well, what are you doing now?
I'm just there's a lot of girls that collect here near the benches. How you doing? What's your name?
Okay, Mr. Griego?
Yeah, Phil.
Okay, what are you doing right now?
I'm just looking for a friend of mine who is here. And if you give me 30 seconds, what's your name? I know Jennifer Lopez. Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Griego?
Hold on. Yeah. Do you know Amanda? You know Amanda? Yeah. Well, my wife died. All right, Phil, I'm sorry.
Why did you tell that? Was that a girl you were talking to?
I told her that I knew Jennifer Lopez because I have met Jennifer Lopez, and I wanted her to know that. That's all. But
is that something you would tell ordinarily to a girl right out of the box?
It's these girls are interested in that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show with Carla. Go ahead, Carla.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you figure that it's right to date 14-year-old women? I mean, they're not even women. Half of them don't even have their periods yet.
I can tell you this much. Number one, you
can. They
date
can't
a woman,
even bear children.
You could be. Well, I don't know. I don't know where you've been, but yes, they can. Number one, 30-year-old women. Some of them are barely women. Some of them aren't even women yet. They're mentally deficient. They're emotionally deficient. They're lousy in bed, and they'll die from breast cancer within 5-6 years. Well,
I mean,
that really sounds like a bargain, doesn't it?
A 14-year-old girl? I have a 14-year-old sister, and I can tell you right now, if a guy like you hit on my sister, I'd castrate him. And you know what?
Well,
if I was 30 years old and I was your wife, I would pray to die. I would kill myself.
Well, that shows how emotionally mature you are. See, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about. And why would you castrate me if I could offer your sister a life better than the one she obviously has wherever you live? Where do you live?
Tampa, Florida.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm
well, what does that mean?
Life. I mean, if some 45-year-old man came, she would probably tell you to go pack sand. I mean,
well, you know what?
Any 14-year-old female that would even date a 45-year-old man is not all there.
And not
you
only
know
that,
what? I'm 20 years old, and I would not touch somebody that is the same age as my father.
You know why you're angry is because you're too old for me. That's why you're angry. Because 20 is too old.
No, but don't you understand what people are saying?
Why? Because I actually know the difference between right and wrong, and I know it's wrong to date a 45-year-old? That's disgusting!
I can offer your sister more than your mother or father ever could. And what is wrong with that?
Don't think you could.
Well,
I think
you could offer her
mental anguish, and that's about it.
What you think and what
if anything,
you're angry because
you know
I would offer
She's
your 14-year-old sister. I would offer your sister a life far better than the one she has now, and you're angry because you're at 20, and I wouldn't offer it to you. You'd be stuck there in Tampa, going down to the Pick and Save with your mom and dad.
Going to the Pick and Save? Honey, I'm in law school, all right?
She'd be out here in Los Angeles.
You can kick my ass on that one.
See how crude you are? I wouldn't want to take you to a dinner or to a function. I'd take your sister. I could teach her and mold her into being a woman.
Oh, brother, man. What do we got here, Pygmalion?
How could you take a 14-year-old to a function? They'd think it was your daughter. They'd think something was wrong with you.
No, not the guys I know.
Oh, that's great. Not the guys you know, huh?
Well, no, I'm just saying. You can dress. I could doll her up in an evening gown. And, you know, 14-year-old girls want to be grown up.
I mean, there's one word for guys like you. It's called pedophile.
Carla,
okay?
You're old meat, okay? You got gristle. Sorry, but you're out of the picture. See you later, Grandma.
You know something? I'd almost think you were kidding.
Well, I mean, with a woman like this, what else am I going to say? She's called me a pedophile. She called me an a-hole. She's called me every name in the book. What am I going to say? She's a child.
That's disgusting.
It may be disgusting to you.
My sister's sitting here cringing at the thought of what
is
you have to offer her.
Is your sister there?
Yeah, she's right here.
Can I speak with her, please?
No. Don't let her.
I just want to tell her I know Jennifer Lopez.
She doesn't give a... Who cares if you know Jennifer Lopez?
Oh, yeah.
And Jessica, do you care if he knows Jennifer Lopez?
Oh, you know what, Carla? Yeah, go ahead and say... No, she doesn't care.
You care if he knows Jennifer Lopez?
No. She just doesn't want her sister to do better than her. What's better, dancing for J-Lo or defending DUIs? Which would you rather do? Hi, sweetie. Can you hear me through the speakers?
Never mind. I don't want you talking to the kid. All right. Thanks a lot, Carla.
I'm not...
1-800-449...
Can I tell her I have some candy, too?
Forget it! Tanya, go ahead. Tanya.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Wow. I am astonished as to what I am hearing here.
How old are you, ma'am?
I am now 23.
This is why these women are upset with me. Because
Just let the women talk. What, they're over the hill?
Here's the thing. When I was 14 years old, I was out doing stupid things like dating older men. And now that I am a woman, all grown up, and have a brain of my own, and am not being manipulated by men like you, I can honestly say that I wish I had never, ever, ever made those mistakes. So I don't understand.
Look at the life that Tommy Mottola gave Mariah Carey. Look at the wonderful life he gave her. And that's a mistake, huh?
Yeah, and then he threw her out in the street like garbage when she wasn't young enough anymore. She's got a pill problem. She's psychotic.
Oh, listen to you lying about it.
Lying about it? Everybody knows this guy Mottola pitched her out in the street.
She'd never have been a singer, Tanya, were it not for Tani Mottola, age 50.
Right. Understandable. Okay. No. Ever. See, that's the thing, though, is you can't go out there and make every one of these little girls that you're manipulating big movie stars and all that kind of stuff. And actually, what you're doing is making them whores.
I take them back to their homes.
Them that they can be this big, major person in life when the reality of the situation is unless they have the talent and can do it on their own, you're not going to do anything for them other than use, abuse, manipulate, and try to screw them up in their head.
Let's say I met you when you were 14. I would have taken you out to Los Angeles. There's a couple of directors I know who would be looking for someone like you for a movie.
It's called a porn movie, Tanya.
Yeah, exactly.
It's called child porn.
Exactly.
You lying sack of crap. How dare you, Mr. Hit? Well, she's laughing at that.
Are you telling me you put her in a movie that was legit? Some 14-year-old kid with no experience?
Look at Celine Dion. She'd still be sucking maple syrup from trees in Quebec if it wasn't for that old guy. That's what I'm talking about. And I could have done that for you, Tanya, but no, what do you want to do? You want to sit there with three kids at the age of 23, slinging one on your back, another one in the trunk of the car, going off to the Walmart, and buying yourself another water wiggle. Jesus.
You know what the reality is I chose my life, and I love my children.
You could be out here with me. You could be out here with me at going to parties.
I don't want that kind of lifestyyle. See, you know what? I could have had that kind
of lifestyle at any point in time. That's why
I could have made the choice to do it the right way. My family, I grew up in a family of gospel singers out on the road.
Oh.
I could have sang and done anything that I've wanted.
Well, that sounds sexy.
But I didn't choose that lifestyle. Do I want to be an object for men to drool over for the rest of my life? No, I want to be a human being.
Well,
I don't want to be some toy for some old man who can't make it in life with women his own age and his own mental capacity.
I want you.
I want
bigger. Now, let me ask you something. You grew up with gospel singers, right?
That's correct.
And you were having sex with 40-year-old guys? Yeah, that makes sense, all right.
Wait a minute. Don't start blaming religion.
Well, I mean, come on. The reality is,
as a young girl, I didn't understand what life was about. I had the opportunity, not with
40-year-old
men, but much older men than me.
That's fine, Tanya, but I just want you to know one thing. Just because Jan Crouch was your mama doesn't mean...
All right, we're done. Tanya, I thank you very much, and I think you made a lot of sense.
Tanya, can I give you my phone number?
No.
No, I don't want you. I want your kid's sister.
No, absolutely not.
Thanks, Tanya, very much
for your
call.
When your daughter grows up and gets to be 14, can I... Okay.
That is Art Criego and the National Child Rights Movement. He wants a national age of consent of 14. Because after all, you don't want to marry some old chick. She'll up and die on you. Some old chick of 35. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Making pot brownies. The Phil Henry Show is back.
What do you want? Art, we're all done with the segment.
Phil, I wanted to... Well, I was told by your producer that I could do the song.
What song?
We have a national child's rights...
It ain't national child's rights. You're trying to lower the age of consent to 14. I think it's very, very untoward and extremely manipulative to say it's some child's rights movement.
Well, you think what you want, Mr. Henry, but your producer said that I could sing this song, and if not, I guess I make a call to Mr. Kitchen. Is that what I'm supposed to do? A call to Mr. Kitchen? Craig Kitchen, COO, Premier?
Okay. Sing your song.
Thank you. This is a song that I think says it all. And for those of you that think I'm a pederast, please listen to this song. 1, 2, 3. This girl walked in dreams, playing in a world of her own. This girl was a child,
existing in a playground of stone. Then one night her world was changed. Her life and dreams were rearranged. And she would never be the same again. This girl is a woman now. I took off her boots.
Okay, that's fine. Sick bastard. This girl is a woman now. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So what's up with Kobe Bryant? I mentioned that we talk a little bit about it, and a little bit is exactly what you're going to get, because this story, as you know, is one of those stories that can induce a lot of liver bile to come up through your nose and mouth if you're not careful. Kobe Ding Dang Bryant. Today it's been leaked by Newsweek magazine, because Newsweek, I guess that's the role that Newsweek's in. I knew there was a reason I didn't like that magazine. They're just so obvious. Newsweek. Hey, we got a scoop. Really? Yeah. Kobe Bryant's wife, that's why she called 9/11, because he said he wanted to divorce her, and she's all sick and twisted about it. And it's coming out on the eve of the trial. Gee, that's great. Doesn't sound suspicious to you at all, does it? Why would it? Why would it? They got this preliminary hearing coming up in 2 days. You got a trial coming up, and all of a sudden now, oh, well, this thing happened back in March. Any real reporter would have had the scoop on this. Well, anyway, we're going to have front row and everything. We're Newsweek. We're not Time. Kobe Bryant was considering divorcing his wife 4 months before the sexual encounter with a hotel worker. This is the 9/11 call that was made, remember? That's what we're deducing. Nobody said it out. But we're deducing that the 9/11 call was made. Apparently, she had some kind of a breakdown when he said or allegedly said that he'd like to have a divorce from her. The five-time NBA All-Star contacted a divorce lawyer in March. You know, it's interesting about these basketball players. Every time, or any athlete, when he's involved in a crime or the allegation of a crime, they don't just say he's an NBA basketball player. They got to give you his credentials. Why? I mean, I can understand Jonas Salk, who invented the polio vaccine, was arrested today for peddling child pornography. I can understand that. But five-time NBA All-Star, it has no effect on anybody. Doesn't mean anything. It carries no weight in the real world. See what I'm saying? What, are you going to go out and you're going to get a job with, you're going to get a job with Amgen? You're going to get a job with some biotech firm or a Wall Street brokerage as a five-time NBA All-Star other than a meet-and-greet kind of a guy? Other than just some clown that they put in front? Oh, never mind. I don't want to get into this now. Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian in Newport Beach has said that only that an adult woman was brought to the hospital. Ms. Bryant, can I say this to you, you poor thing? I'm sorry that you were sick. Is it possible, Ms. Bryant, that you can see this as a positive thing? You're a young woman. Why would you want to waste your life with a guy like this? Well, he's an NBA basketball player, and there's a lot of money. Yes? Yeah, you're right. There is a lot of money. But consider this. California's community rights laws, community property laws, I should say, entitle you to half of what he has now anyway, half of what the two of you have. And I believe that Mr. Bryant has made a considerable amount of money in the time that the two of you have been married. So if it's financial, I wouldn't worry my pretty little head about that. Well, I think that a woman should give a man another chance. Okay, all right. But I guarantee it's going to happen again. Look, you know as well, where did you meet him? Where did she meet him? Oh, on the set of a movie shoot or something like that? You ought to be on a bus pulling into a hotel in any major NBA city during the season. You ought to see what greets the players as they get off the bus. More beautiful women, and well, beautiful is stretching it, but more women attempting to be beautiful in one place than you've ever seen before in your life. And if you saw that, any woman that is married to an NBA basketball player or any professional athlete, do yourself a favor. Don't even go near the team bus when they're pulling into those hotels. Unless, of course, you are sort of, you know, if you've become rather numb to the reality. But if you're a new wife, you don't want to see it. Women everywhere doing their best to look gorgeous. Some of them better than others. He's going to do it again, Ms. Bryant, and it's going to be even more painful, and you'll look even dumber then. So do yourself and your child a huge favor. Dump him. Don't do that whole stand by your man thing, because what that basically means is be a schmuck and stand by your man, okay? It ain't stand by your schmuck. You're the schmuck, and he ain't standing by you. Get yourself a great divorce lawyer. How about one of them, doesn't that Haddon woman? Oh, that'd be a conflict of interest. Well, how about that Marvin Mitchelson? Yeah, there's a million of them out here. Find one. And I guarantee you this much, if you get a good one, man, you'll have more than half of his community property. You're going to have half of everything he earns until age 90. Get rid of this guy while the getting's good, if only on the principle that he cheated on you. He cheated on you. I mean, how stupid? What do you, I mean, look, there are some guys that are loyal to their wives. I know that you probably haven't met any yet, but they're out there. Why don't you find yourself one of them? Kobe Bryant is a boy. He's a little boy, just like you're a little girl. Get rid of this guy. Take care of your child. Use the money. Put it into a trust fund for the child. Use the rest of the money for invest in some real estate. Put some of it into some mutual funds. Get yourself a good financial advisor, okay? A nice, modest home. It doesn't have to be 90 million square feet. You can get yourself a nice 6,000 square foot job for you and the kid. You know, I mean, that's the kind of bread you got coming to you. Give the rest to a financial advisor. Don't give it out to relatives. Don't give it out to friends. Minimize the jewelry purchases whenever you can. And if you do buy anything, insure it. Okay, I'm giving you some advice. In fact, Ms. Bryant, would you like to get married? Because I... Oh. 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com. For $6.95, you get a backstage pass. This is a great deal. With a backstage pass, you have access to some of the greatest comedy in radio history. Why? Because we created it on our show. You can also download it. Are you aware of the fact that we're inviting you to get a backstage pass to our website and then come on our site and download our material so you can have it to hold and to love? Own the Phil Henry Show. Just get a backstage pass, details at our website. And while you're there, visit our souvenir shop. The new Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu shirt is available. Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu at the souvenir shop.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
But that's it.
Say that again, Jay.
What I was basically saying to you, Phil, is I think homosexuals are being disrespectful to a lot of traditions. My niece I went to my niece's wedding the other day. I was telling you about
the last weekend.
That's right. And it was a little chapel by the sea. And
homosexuals are disrespectful to a lot of traditions.
That is my read. Yeah. I saw something that I had a little bit of a hard time with. We had the wedding reception for my niece down in Long Beach, a very nice restaurant. Now, there are two guests invited to this deal. They're co-workers of my niece's, and they're both gay. One is a gal that works in her accounting department. The other is a fellow that's one of the engineers there. Now, both these people are gay. And about halfway through the reception, they have this deal where, probably seen the deal where the bride throws a bouquet and a groom throws out a garter belt.
Right. Yeah, the groom kind of snaps the garter belt back.
Right. So the thing that I sort of put me off were these two gays went out there and tried to catch this garter in a bouquet. Now, it seems like a small thing. The thing that I was thinking about was that these are two gays, and this is a heterosexual tradition, the garter in a bouquet toss. And they're sort of pulling this tradition with their homosexual agenda. I was kind of polluting it. And as it turned out, the gay gal did, in fact, catch the bouquet. So now here you got this heterosexual tradition of love and marriage, and a gay caught the bouquet that the bride had set out. And I got to tell you, I was offended that they would be welcome guests of my nieces, and they would share such disrespect on a very important day. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not homophobic. I'm a pretty fair guy, yet this gay thing really sets me back.
Well, what makes you think you can't get up and take part, that a gay person can't get up and take part in this tradition? Like throwing out a bouquet or throwing out the garter belt?
Because this is strictly a heterosexual tradition. I think this is not for the gay.
Well, listen, I got nothing against gay people in our society, but it's and I hope that no one else does. And I hope that it means that they're not, in your mind, excluded.
Well, Phil, I don't have anything against them either, but what we've allowed them to do, now they use, look, we've allowed gay people in every aspect of society. They use the same workout centers we use. They shop in the same malls. We have allowed them to use the same restrooms. You know, I just heard them here recently.
Well, of course they use the same restrooms.
And I have nothing against that. I've got nothing against that. I'm trying to tell you. Also, I read here recently where they're going to buy homes in neighborhoods where straight people live. And
why would we be against that, Jay?
That's my point. But don't you think we ought to draw the line? And where the homosexual starts to pollute or otherwise co-opt heterosexual traditions like a bouquet toss or the garter belt toss at the wedding. And I think allowing them to shove this homosexual lifestyle onto the bouquet toss and the garter toss at a heterosexual wedding with heterosexual people all over the place is very insulting for me. Now, most restaurants will seat gay people and everything.
Well, the things you're talking about, letting gay people into restaurants, letting them buy homes, letting them use the same restrooms, this is a common, decent thing that we would allow anybody.
I totally agree. But we have allowed gays to feel like they're entitled to go anyplace. I agree, Phil, that the gay should be able to use the same bathroom. And many of your gays should be able to use the same restaurants and sit in the same sections and all this. But we got a heterosexual tradition where the man and woman getting married, and a woman come out with a bouquet, flips it out to the gals that are there, and the gay catches it.
All right, Jay, all right, 1-800-449-8686. So what is wrong with that?
Well, what do they have to do with a bouquet toss? See what I'm saying? These people, heterosexual marriage has got nothing to do with these gays.
Well, it's an instinct that people have to join in the party.
Well, why didn't the lesbian just go ahead and lift up the bride's skirt then and go to town? Because that's what we're talking about. That's what you're
talking. What do you mean, man?
The fact that these lesbians will get out there for a bouquet toss. The bouquet toss is for straight women only. It's not for a lesbian. Or does she want to get up on the stage, shove up the skirt of the bride, and just go ahead and go to town like some jail dyke? And that's the thing that all of us worry about.
And I don't think that the instinct they had is wrong.
Well, these homosexuals are not looking for relationships the way normal people are. They're looking for just to have the sexual spirit. That's the difference, homosexual and straight person. The homosexual just wants to get their cookies. They just want to get their cookies. The straight person is looking for a relationship. But the homosexual is only looking to get their cookies. You see what I'm saying?
So, in other words, you're saying that homosexuals are only into the sexual experience.
That is correct.
Well, I got to tell you, I totally disagree. And I, again, a bouquet tossed by the bride may seem like an odd place to see a lesbian, but then again, it's a free country. You know what I'm saying? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos is with us. And I got to ask you, Jay, because I know that you attempted to take the bouquet away from this woman, this gay woman. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Now, can you tell me the specifics of that? Because you filed an assault charge against her.
Well, the situation, Phil, is as it took place after a wedding. I saw this gal leaving. She had the bouquet. That is a gay. It was one of the gays. There were two gays at the wedding that I could identify. This one gay had the bouquet. So I went over to her, and at that time, I request she turned the bouquet over to me. She did refuse. I then ordered her to put her hands on the hood of the car.
Now, so people know, you're with the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
Yes, sir. Citizens Auxiliary Police.
This is a volunteer...
We're a neighborhood volunteer patrol, and we take a peek over the shoulder of the police, try to assist the police.
So you asked this woman to turn the bouquet over to you?
Yes.
And she refused?
That is correct.
Then what happened?
I then ordered her to put her hands on the hood of the car. Once again, she did refuse. I then initiated contact to retrieve this bouquet. This is standard police procedure. I grabbed a handful of her hair at the scalp, and I began to kick her leg below the knee. This was to get her to loosen the grip on the bouquet. She then assaulted me, and I told all of this to police. The emergency room attending physician said that I sustained a fracture of the left orbital bone over my right arm and bruised kidney.
All right, so you're filing assault charges on her. You tried to take the bouquet?
That is correct. She attacked me as I was investigating the possibility of misdemeanor theft. I had grabbed her hair. You have to understand she's gay, this woman, and as such may have stolen some of the wedding gifts, some of the decorations.
Well, that's the other thing I didn't like about it. You suspect her of stealing because she's gay.
Well, we are simply trying to save lives. This lesbian polluted a heterosexual tradition, and so I've got to say to myself, why? Unless you don't wear.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking to me about the lesbian who caught the bouquet at a wedding. Is it because you don't believe that gay people can be married?
I think, Phil, I think it's been proved. Well, first of all, the bouquet is something that's traditionally used at heterosexual wedding. But beyond that, I know there's been an awful lot of talk about homosexual weddings and the fact they can all get married. And that's fine. But I think that when you talk about the homosexual and relationship, it's very transient. In other words, these people don't stay together too long. When they do, it's just to get their cookies and this kind of a deal, as I was telling you about. Now, I think these people should think twice about inviting homosexuals to weddings and they continue to dump their gayness all over the ceremony and have it be a gay ceremony. I don't want it to be a gay ceremony.
Are you homophobic? Because it's not...
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, it sure as hell sounds like it to me. You're talking about them dumping their gayness all over a heterosexual thing. The fact that because they're gay, they're probably stealing the cutlery. The fact that because they're gay, they're probably... these people... And you keep saying these people this and these people that. Why? And you don't have any respect for the possibility of gay marriage. You say that it's all about, quote, getting your cookies, end quote. That's a sex thing, and so there is no relationship. How do you know?
Phil, I'm just trying to tell you that...
No, but how do you know so much about gay people?
I simply say it. I go to a wedding. I think that what I'd like to see there are heterosexuals enjoying themselves. And
all it did is just piss you off because you saw a lesbian catch a bouquet. That's all. It just bothered you, and that's homophobia. That's classic textbook homophobia. You could have just passed it off. No big freaking thing. They ask all the single people to go up there. I've been to weddings, and I've been single when I've been to weddings, and they're a pain in the ass. They say, all right, all the men, all the single men, get up there. They push you up there. You have no choice. That woman probably had no choice. She probably pushed up there. But let's just say she wanted to be up there. Can't she want to be married? Isn't that what catching a bouquet is about?
Look, a heterosexual woman is going to cherish that bouquet when she catches it. But oftentimes they'll put it in the freezer to save it, but the gay... probably use the bouquet to give to some softball player, or
well, maybe that softball player is who they want to marry. So what? What do you mean, give it to a softball player?
I'm just saying to you that, and other people out there, this gay might as well stay at home instead of stealing the thunder from the bride. The bride always wants a straight friend to catch the bouquet because they got that one straight friend, a little bit of an old maid. She really wants to get married. No guy wants to touch her with a 10-foot pole. So she brings her straight friend to the wedding and wants her to catch it. Now some gay catches it, and I think it's humiliating to the straight friend.
Well, you know what? You're saying the straight friend, some gal who can't get married because no guy wants to touch her with a 10-foot pole. So the gay, you don't seem to like anybody.
I'm Phil. What I'm saying is, you know as well as I...
Yes, I know the straight friend that they all want to have the bouquet get caught by, yeah. And my friend the Swede, everybody wants him to catch the freaking garter, even though he wouldn't. He'd rather die from food poisoning than get married. But the fact of the matter is, if she caught it, she caught it.
Well, that's true.
And you, I don't think, had any right...
Phil, I don't remember the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Please don't tell me my business.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I don't know if anybody can actually identify who's gay and who isn't at a wedding, but at least one lesbian at a wedding that Jay went to this past weekend caught the bouquet, which is generally what you catch... So you can be married, is that it? Or that's good luck to be married? And he says that it encourages gay marriage. And on top of that, what was that crack that he made about this? Homosexuals are not into long-term relationships. They're just into getting their cookies. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Born again. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Talking to Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, where you actually tried to take a bouquet away from a lesbian who had caught it at a heterosexual wedding. Before we go to our phone calls, what do you want to do? You want to make it against the law?
No, I don't want to make it against the law, Phil, but I do think it's on some level gay people should be prohibited from taking part in certain heterosexual traditions. I think they should sit and, quite frankly, reflect on the sexual choices they've made. What put them in this position where they have to sit and not get the bouquet of the garter bell? Why are they more interested in getting their cookies instead of having long-term relationships? These are the kind of things I think gay people need to reflect on. Then and only then are they then allowed to be a part of a heterosexual tradition of the garter belt bouquet.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Kathy. Kathy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am.
I normally don't call into these shows, but this guy just has me twerk. He sounds to me like, if you were to talk to a regular police officer, they would
families.
No more want this man issued a gun or on their force than fly to the moon.
Well, ma'am, I'm citizens officer of police.
He sounds like he belongs in the Aryan Nation out in the desert.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. No. I believe in the freedom of all people. I'm just trying to keep the gay.
No, you don't believe in the freedom of all people. I'm homophobic myself. You know what? But you are one whack dude. I hope to God you never, ever get on a police force, because I would hate to be pulled over by you, because I'd probably have to kick your ass.
Ma'am, I can assure you that we would use a three-step takedown. I'm not looking
for... You know what? You could try pulling my hair and kicking me, and you know what? It wouldn't work, buddy.
Ma'am, we use a three-step takedown with lesbians and violent gay people.
Well, wait a minute.
Lesbians, oh my God. You are a tough man.
I beg your pardon. I tried.
You have no business even wanting to be on the police force. You are a joke.
Well, wait a minute. I want to ask you a question here, Jay. You're not a police officer in the sense that you're with an accredited police agency, are you?
We are a citizens auxiliary police. We are volunteers and make up a police group.
I can make a citizen's arrest, for God's sake.
At a guy's house?
That doesn't mean they're going to issue me a gun to take charge.
Well, can I ask you a question? If you saw a lesbian walking out of a reception with a bouquet, how would you, what would you do? Call the police or what?
Oh, heck no. I would just say, hey, way to go, you know?
Way to go?
Way to go. You caught the bouquet. Hey, you know, who's the lucky partner?
Wait a second. This is a heterosexual tradition. Among people who believe in a committed relationship, the gay only believes in getting their cookies, and you say, way to go.
You've got a problem with this getting your cookies scenario. You know, it's all wrapped up into a sexual thing for you.
No,
isn't even trying to represent a police department.
Ma'am, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We were founded by...
I can make a citizen's arrest, buddy. That doesn't make me any different than you.
No, that's not... Well, but you
and
know
they would
how
not,
to...
If you were to talk to a police officer in your area, they would say this guy has no business even trying to attempt to
be
a volunteer.
We wear a blue armband. We have clearly identified tip helmets.
Oh, Lord.
And
my grandson dresses up as a police officer and makes citizens arrest. So you're no different.
There are other heterosexual traditions gays are taking part in. We're trying to protect it. They have lesbians in ballet, gay men.
I suppose you have a shaved head and wear a swastika.
You just sound like some kind of a dyke.
All right, listen, Kathy, thank you very
much.
Why don't you go and get your cookies?
All right,
I've been married for 30 years, and I don't think a woman would even have anything to do with you, so that makes you a gay man.
Oh, well, you know something, ma'am? If you were here right now, I'd punch you.
Oh, well, see, that's just it. You're a tough...
Think of something.
You're not even a man.
All right, listen, Kathy,
I don't even know what to call you. I hope to God that a policeman can see what you're trying to do and arrest you and
right,
lock you
Kathy,
up.
Kathy, thank you very much for your call.
Jesus, was she boring. Why didn't you hang up?
Don't tell me how to do my show. I know how to do my show.
We are trying to protect heterosexual traditions from the gay. Now, you have to understand, Phil.
Why? What heterosexual? Name me heterosexual traditions that need to be exclusively heterosexual other than flipping a freaking bouquet.
We're talking about open campfire, pick up basketball. There are areas that have been strictly for the straight man for many, many years, decades, if not centuries. And now we're seeing gay people, especially the gay, invading these areas, campouts, these kinds of things.
So let me get this straight. Gay people have never camped out before? And they've all of a sudden gotten empowered to light a campfire. Is that it?
I think that you would find a lot of gays, I'm sorry, a lot of gays would 20 years ago not even think about going into a campground, into a KOR or any other. But now they have it.
How do you freaking know? This is insanity. This is the stupidest thing I've heard in my life. To say that the gay didn't go into a KOA campground 20 years ago.
I'm telling you the truth. You think I'm kidding?
And what's this pickup basketball crap?
There's no gay that goes to a pickup basketball game. They'll know if there's going to be a bunch of homophobes there. They might get their ass kicked.
Yeah? Okay, and what else? They don't play hockey? They don't play...
I don't know, but we're trying to identify areas that are strictly straight. And we're trying to deal with it on a case-by-case basis. Look, I don't want the gay to get hurt, nor do you do.
Oh, you see, if you hadn't stepped in and taken that bouquet away from that lesbian woman, somebody else would have kicked her ass. Is that it?
It's quite possible, yeah.
Well, thank you. She should have sent you a thank you note instead of busting your orbital bone. By the way, what is that?
That's the bone over the eye. She lacerated a kidney, and she kicked me square in my balls.
Well, pal, that's what you get.
That's what I get.
That's what you get. Pulling her hair and kicking her in the shin. What the hell are we talking about here? God, Dick. Guy goes over, tries to get a bouquet of flowers away from a lesbian, and he calls the three-step takedown, pulling her hair and kicking her shin, so she busts him in the face, and he's suing her for assault?
Boy, Phil, I want to play a song which is very important to me. It's very important to the other men and women who are a part of the organization that now has almost seven members, and that's the Citizens Auxiliary Police of the South Bay, an organization that is devoted to protecting not only the community, but also an organization devoted to allowing men to feel as if they can be a part of the police department, even though physically they are not able to, and mentally they wouldn't pass the psych test if they were given, you know, years to do it. So I'd like to play the song, but here it is. This is our theme song, Phil.
Forget it.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, by the way, the voice of Art Griego and Jay Santos in tonight's show, both performed by me. The people that call believe them to be real people. And, you know, there's no accounting for taste. But that's our show, the Phil Hendry Show, the one and only. God's, what we like to say around here, God's favorite radio show. 1-800-449-8686, our souvenir shop open. Get the new Ted's of Beverly Hills Honolulu shirt. You know, with Christmas right around the corner, yeah, sure. 3 months. You're going to want to get, you're going to want to load up on your Christmas. Why not do it now, baby? Go to the Phil Hendry Show website. Go to our souvenir shop. Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police t-shirts. Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police pouch jackets. Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police flexed baseball caps. And now, the new Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police belt watch. Beautiful watch. Go to the website. Take a look at this thing. Classic. Guess what else we got up on the website now? Guess what else we have in our souvenir shop? We have the new Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue utensils. This thing is sweet. Comes in an engraved wood box. You open up the wood box. It's got barbecue utensils for chicken. It has the chicken thongs or whatever. Thongs. What the hell do you call those things?
Tongs.
Tongs, yeah. And, you know, the fork. It's got a barbecue fork. It's got, well, you're looking at it right now, Chris. It also has a spatula. Big spatula, too, so you can get maybe three burgers on that thing, you know. And a bottle opener, and all of the handles are engraved with the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo, as is the engraved wooden box. Now I ask you, what better gift to give to the man you love than a set of barbecue utensils from Ted's of Beverly Hills? You'd have to be nuts to go anywhere else. It's a one-in-a-kind kind of gift. And, you know, your husband, he's the kind of guy, if he's like me, get him that Ted's apron, too. So he sits out there with his bottle of suds. He's got on that apron. He's got those utensils. He's got the barbecue cranking. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. Come on. So go to our souvenir shop. Check it out. www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Let's see. Oh, Steve Bozell was on our show. He's a construction contractor from Corona, California. He was bitterly disappointed, that Rush Limbaugh got the ESPN job and he, Steve, didn't, because Steve sent an outstanding audition tape and he's not a racist.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
This was a play-by-play portion of my audition tape that I wanted to play for you.
What game is this?
This is Tennessee A&M in Knoxville, and they were host to Alabama A&T. It was a very small college game, but I had the opportunity, and I want to thank Athletic Director Jim Buforty for giving me the opportunity to fill in on the play-by-play.
All right, let's listen to this. This is from this season?
No, this is from late last season, sir.
2002 season?
Yes, sir.
All right, this is Stephen Bozell doing the play-by-play, and go ahead and roll it when you want to.
Down 33-yard line, and that's a first down for Tennessee A&M. Will Burferson on the reception. First down. Alabama A&T goes into a offset I formation. Split wide to the right side is Johnson. Split wide to the left side is Jeffries. And now they're going to call a timeout on the field. So I'll tell you right now, what we've seen so far, fellas.
Okay, sir, is that it?
Yes, sir. That's all that I had the time for. But
all right. Well, it audio wise, I couldn't hear it. It sounded like you had a grip on the game. 1-800-449-8686. Let me get back here to Pete, who is hanging on. Go ahead, Pete, and then we're going to move on.
Hey, first down. That was great, man. You sounded awesome.
Hey. I dare you to do better.
Oh, please, come on.
If you could even get into it.
Sound like you've been practicing in the bathroom or something.
Hey, if you could even wake up. I've been in a press box. Have you ever been in a press box? I don't
first
think so.
First down.
I don't think so, yeah, okay.
First down. What
yeah.
Are you
I'm glad you know how to.
A commentator?
What's that?
Are you trying to be a ref or a commentator?
Hey, if Rush said Donovan McNabb was overrated because he was black, then he should have said Vinny Testaverde is a greasy dago.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Okay, first down. Hey, there used to be a guy in the NFL, Red Cashin. Nobody, you remember Red Cashin at all, Mark? Red Cashin was the guy that'd say, holding number 23, first down. You don't remember that guy? Who remembers Dutch Rennert, the baseball umpire? Oh, my God. Dutch just retired, but couldn't be very long. He was umpire in the 90s. Dutch Rennert was something else. This guy just didn't call a ball or a strike. This guy screamed it. What he did was, if it was a strike, he'd jump into a crouch, point his hand directly at the stands, and scream at the top of his lungs, strike one! But a ball would just be ball. Ball two. And then another strike, the guy would leap into this crouch, get about a foot off the ground, point his finger at the stands, and go, strike two! And then, you know, ball three. And then strike three would be strike three! So they asked him, why'd you do that? He said, I learned as an umpire, when you make a call, make it so that nobody would dare argue with it. No one would dare come out of the dugout and say, are you sure that was a strike? Well, what did it look like to you, pal? God, those are the days. One of these days, I would love to see an umpire get out on the field. You know how they click on that thing? Holding number 20, right? What if the guy flipped it on and went, holding number 23 on the defense? By the way, if my wife is listening, I know all about it. You, the milkman, the insurance agent, everything. Her name is Esmeralda Brown. She's a whore. First down. I mean, they have the opportunity. There they are. They're in the middle of the field. There's thousands, if not millions, watching. And he has the ear of the whole world. And all you say is, holding number 23 on the defense, the offensive player. And he goes into this boring description of what happened on the play that half the people watching don't understand anyway. What you ought to do is take advantage of that mic time. And, especially during the Super Bowl. Whoever you are that's going to do the Super Bowl, you know. And now we'll go down to referee Eddie Slavatsky. You know, it always had a little bit of feedback. Holding number 61 on the offense. The down will be repeated. By the way, I think President Bush's policy in Iraq is crap. And Bill Johnson, I know you were with my wife last night, so I'll be seeing you. Let's see, what else? The guys that fixed my car at Union 76 suck. And, okay, first down. I think it'd be great. Football season, man. Something else. And thank God we have the games to watch and we don't have to follow too closely the antics of our brethren, the players. And again, I would like to thank Roy Cummings of the Tampa Tribune, who actually put it in a print. Let me tell you why I'm excited about that piece of ink. And ordinarily, I don't talk about the press that this show gets. We hardly ever talk about a newspaper article that's written about us or a television piece that's done about us. But this one's exciting to me because I know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers read it, and I know Sapp read it. That's the part about it that I love. I don't care if nobody else reads it other than them. And if you'd like to read it, I have it on my website on the homepage, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And while you're at it, Chris, would you please fax the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that article just in case they don't read there? Just in case they can't read in the front office? I loved it. No end. Want to know why? Because occasionally, just occasionally, and it doesn't happen too often, I really do want to be heard by certain people. I mean, ordinarily, I don't delude myself. Ordinarily, I don't kid myself into thinking that I'm doing any great work here that's going to change the world. Ordinarily, I'm pretty realistic. But when it comes to that particular thing, I got so angry after I read the stuff about Sapp mouthing off on the Limbaugh thing. Look, we already said what needed to be said about Limbaugh. We don't need to hear from you, Sapp, you fat ass. But he went ahead and he mouthed off anyway, so that's what just motivated me to say what I said. And all the while I'm thinking, that a guy probably didn't, it's just one of those things you want to confront a man directly because they get their asses kissed so much. Oh my God, it just doesn't end. And now I have to say something. They're really piling on this Limbaugh, ain't they? Look, I get why he said what he said. I can articulate why he said what he said. I know the very specific mistake that he made. Most of these people that are talking about Limbaugh are kind of piling on and calling him a racist. I've never called him that. What he did was he didn't apply to the white players the same standard that he applies to a black player. In essence, that's the mistake that Rush made. He doesn't hyper-focus a white player the way he would hyper-focus a black player. Okay? And he says, well, the media wants him to do better. Well, and I understand maybe the media does want him to do better, but why don't you make an issue out of, if you're going to go into the racial aspect of professional football, why don't you make an issue out of the number of white players who've long overstayed their welcome in the National Football League? That would probably open up a much bigger can of worms. But my philosophy is this, leave the race thing because it's never going to be solved. Let's move on to the real issue in the National Football League and in all sports, which is the arrogance of the players, the insulting arrogance of the players and their criminality, which would have made me a far better commentator on that ESPN show than Rush Limbaugh. So if anybody from ESPN is listening, my agent's name is David Katz of New York. That name again, David Katz of New York. Anyway, and I wouldn't let that Tom Jackson hustle me out of a gig either. We didn't want him here in the first place. Boy, there's nothing worse than that. And I got hustled into a thing. When I worked in Atlanta, the Falcon flagship station said, okay, Phil, you go down on the field during the pregame show, and you get some funny interviews, right? Like the fans' point of view, right? This was back in 92. So we're talking way before ESPN got religion. So I got down on the field, and I interviewed the players' wives who would be sitting up front. I got fans up in the nosebleed section. I got hot dog vendors, all kinds of stuff. And the guys in the booth sitting on their big asses up there, the play-by-play guy and the color commentator, it was so beneath them. It was just so beneath them because they had a football game to describe. And what is all this silly-ass stuff Henry's doing, right? So in other words, they're working against you actively. So I know exactly what that's about. And that Jackson and that Berman and that Irvin, you talk about backstabbers. You talk about sinking that freaking shiv right in the back, right on up to the hilt. Nice going, Jackson. Remind me never to work with you. You backstabber. Look, if you don't like the guy, you tell him to his face. You got that? You tell him to his face. Because you work with a guy. And it, what kind of intelligence does it show that these men had to be told that they were weaklings after the show was off the air by friends of theirs? It never even occurred to them. So I would say this, I think they probably agreed with it. Or at least thought it was an appropriate comment. And then when they got ripped, basically what they found out was that Limbaugh was far more interesting than they were. And that for probably the however many of years they've been doing that show, they've been as boring and as dull as looking at a mailbox. Meanwhile, Limbaugh, within one show, has got the whole country talking. That's probably what pissed off that Jackson and that Berman more than anything else. That's what made them really angry, knowing that it took Limbaugh one show to get the interest of an entire world, and everything that Tommy Jackson ever had to say about anything couldn't capture the interest of a cat. And you know everything interests a cat. A cat will start sniffing a doorknob. The one animal in the world that's never bored is a cat. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
There was another story in the world of sports today that was tragic, and that was the death of... I don't want to get the wrong name of the guy. Who died? Was it Snyder? Yeah, it was this poor kid who was killed, Dan Snyder, while he was riding with teammate Dana Heatley in Heatley's car. These two guys play for the Atlanta Thrashers hockey team, National Hockey League team. On September the 30th, I believe they were coming from a fan meet and greet of some nature for the team. It was a team promotion. They were in Heatley's car. Police estimate the car was traveling at around 80 miles per hour on a two-lane road. It smashed into a brick and a wrought iron fence. If you've ever driven through Atlanta, especially the suburbs in the immediate ring, there's a lot of wrought iron gates and a lot of brick walls, man. I mean, it's just kind of the way they it's rather stately around there. Well, today, both men were thrown from the car. The car was split in half. Heatley broke a jaw. He's going to undergo knee surgery. And Dan Snyder died last night from injuries. Now, Dan Snyder, and along with Dana Heatley, a couple of tremendous players, and really the future of this hockey team. Now, here's a kid, and forgive me, I don't mean to talk down, but I think I will, because just because you play hockey professionally or football professionally or anything, I made this point many times, and just because you have a lot of money doesn't buy you any manhood, and it certainly doesn't buy you any brains. This kid, Heatley, I have no idea how old he was. He's 22. Dan Snyder was 25. Now, Heatley is driving a Ferrari. It's a hell of an expensive car. I don't know how much money this guy makes. Maybe you can look that up for me, Janice, if you can get some relative salaries on the hockey players, but they probably signed some pretty fat deals. There's a lot of money in hockey, as there is in a lot of professional sport. And for a 22-year-old guy to own a Ferrari, baby, that's living. And that's a lot of bread, and that's a lot of car. And the guy, what did he do with his car? He did 80 miles an hour down a two-lane road. Now, here's the thing, and forgive me for saying this. I honestly believe that some people, you could be 30, and you still act and have the mind of, say, a 15-year-old. You could be 40, and you have not yet achieved any level of manhood or womanhood. Now, what is a man and what is a woman? I don't know. People have their own definitions, but I think a lot of it has to do with thinking more about other people than you do about yourself. I think that's one of the signs that you've matured into adulthood, is you stop being so self-absorbed and consumed. And if a guy says, I'd like $6 million a year, I would love to be the GM. Like if this guy, Heatley, by the way, Heatley is, there's a lot of heat on Heatley, baby. This guy's facing a vehicular... We're not talking about vehicular manslaughter. We're talking about vehicular homicide. That's what the DA in Atlanta is recommending for this guy. And if I'm the GM and I'm negotiating this guy's deal and he says, well, I want $6 million a year. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll give you $6 million a year starting on your 30th birthday. What are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is we're going to give you $6 million a year starting on your 30th birthday because you're only 22 right now. You wouldn't know what to do with $6 million a year. You might play with it. You might throw it up in the air like it's confetti. Hey, what's the matter, man? Aren't you treating me like a man? No, I'm not treating you like a man because you ain't a man yet. Just because you're 22 doesn't make you a man. Now, you're going to get 50 G's a year, 50 G's a year, which ought to cover you for an apartment, a nice little car, until you're 30, and then you'll get your $6 million a year. Well, you know, you can't do that. Well, I'm doing it. A lot of these, what's to keep a team from doing that? Why? You defer the money till the kid's 30. And by then, he'll have seen enough of his fellow teammates die from drugs and automobile accidents, he might have another way of living life. This guy made more than $5 million in salary and bonuses his first 2 years in the NHL, Heatley. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.